Humble and Fred, brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurants, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print.
The legendary Humble and Fred Show is on the air. Still waters in a turbulent time. Humble and Fred are here for you. Here they are. Behold their rapidly decaying bodies in all their grandeur. Humble and Fred.
Great to be with you, Southern Ontario.
So far today, we've heard from people in Ottawa and other parts listening to us on different things. iHeartRadio app is pretty cool, so is TuneIn. I think we're on Stitcher as well. And streaming live at funny820.com. Havens, music from Havens coming up.
Warren, I remember Ant. Havens now.
Do you?
Yeah.
You seem like a nice guy.
Nice, very clean cut. Very clean. Very big in the hygiene, Howard.
And that's important. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Are you recording this now? What are you doing? Just taking pictures? All right. Sergeant Sean, we're going to try and get him on at some point today. There's some interesting stories in the news. Canadian cannabis companies invest millions in Pablo Escobar's home turf in Colombia. I want to hear about that.
And the big story of the day... Judge Kavanaugh now has another charge been levied against him, this time for exposing himself, waving it at a woman, and making her touch it. This was back in his college days.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not funny.
No.
If that happened.
No, it's not funny at all.
But that one, the first one was embarrassing.
Well, the first one was in high school. Was it not?
Yeah.
And now we're finding out about college.
Yeah. This one's pretty bad because this one has...
Ward Anderson, everybody.
The New Yorker has done an extensive article on it. It's out today. Ronan Farrow did it. And there weren't direct witnesses, but there were immediately after witnesses. Mm-hmm. And they found someone from the college, a guy that was there at that time, who remembers the story exactly as the woman reports it. But he never knew the woman and never talked to her. And he knows the story. Like he told the reporters the story just like she said it, despite the fact that he never knew her and didn't even know Kavanaugh.
All right.
And we need an inquiry.
Yeah. So it's this one looks bad.
Let's talk about a little bit about comedy. You do comedy in Canada. You moved to Canada, married a Canadian. Yeah. Well done. But you still go back to America. There's places you've been playing for a long time.
I did. I was in hiding for part of the summer, of course. So
why?
I didn't tour. I had death threats against me.
Did you really?
This summer, yeah. Yeah.
And you came here?
Earlier in the year. Yeah.
Well, this is a great place because we're like the witness protection program.
Yeah, it was this one was a bad one. So someone...
Yeah, I saw that online.
Yeah, that was
okay,
a bad
Okay, tell
one.
That story quickly.
Yeah, prompted by what?
A Facebook argument, but it wasn't even an argument. It was some guy thought I was making a political comment against him, and I was actually agreeing with him on something. I don't remember what it was. And he went off on me and, lost his mind. And said, I'm going to come in, I'm going to kill you. And I thought that, at first I laughed it off, and then he continued with, I'm going to find you, your days are numbered, and then I laughed it off, and then he sent me my private address, my private phone number, he knew where my wife worked, he sent me all kinds of info that no one has.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Turns out he worked as a skip tracer and private investigator.
In Toronto?
In Canada?
Nope. He was in the States.
Oh.
I had to cancel some gigs that were near him during that time. My wife went and stayed with family elsewhere and everything like that. He then disappeared. People couldn't find him. So with all we knew, he was coming to get me during that time. We had to have the police go and look for him, pay him a visit. And then eventually they did. And his boss found out about it, fired him. He argued with his boss. And then his boss fired him. And then he went home and he killed himself.
What?
And this all happened in a period of weeks.
What?
Yeah.
So what was that phone call? He killed himself?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, he must have felt safer.
Yeah.
I did feel safer, yeah.
Did you ever have
any... But it was tense for a while.
So I can imagine, because I saw that on Facebook, and I thought, that seems odd, because you would announce, listen, this has happened, I'm not kidding. Mm-mm. This isn't a jokey joke.
Mm. You know, yeah. It's funny. We say, you know, very little good comes out of religion. It doesn't. Mm. It's getting that way with social media. Very yeah. little good comes out of it. It's all yeah. negative and bad.
But so... Yeah.
It's making us lose our empathy.
Well, and it's making anonymous discourse mm-hmm. yeah. the rule of the day. And as I've said this for years, that yeah. it's outrage as a currency now.
Yeah.
We deal, that's our currency. We deal in this getting upset about things or arguing with people. But did you ever have any contact with him directly, like private messages? And
yeah. Yeah, I'll show him to you sometime.
Did you know him on any level?
No. Oh. Not at all. Several mutual friends. He was a failed comedian. He never took off as a comedian. He's also a failed radio host. He never took off to that. So why would he lash out at me? Because I succeeded at all those things.
He doesn't sound like a very funny man.
No.
Mm. Well, no. But you know, when you say failed radio person, that could be a billion oh. people.
Yeah. I'm surprised you narrowed it down.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, and I'm glad yeah. you brought that up because I'd forgotten. I'd seen that on Facebook. And yeah. I was like, what is Ward Anderson going to do? But it... Listen, no one wants someone's life to end.
No.
But when they're threatening your family,
yeah.
that must have been, that phone call must have been relief.
Yeah, it's like dog eat dog. So, yeah, it must have been a relief.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was disappointed. He obviously had serious issues. He obviously had
think?
Serious issues. So, I mean, I wasn't happy, but I was relieved.
I'd say.
I was relieved.
How old was he?
He was probably late 40s.
Wow.
So yeah. obviously had some psychological issues
yeah.
and just chose you as the sort of...
Oh, dude, it was everything. He had lost custody of his kids. He'd gone through a divorce. He'd lost his job. You know what I mean? Like, all these things happened, and he lashed out. So, yeah.
Well, what I was going to ask you about doing comedy in the States, because you started off in the States.
Yeah.
When I met Ward, it was a few years ago. We were doing stand-up together at a club here in Toronto, yep. where, you, by the way, you're going to be able to see Ward on
Friday.
It's part of Just for Laughs, JFL 42 in Toronto at Absolute Comedy on Yonge Street.
Yep.
And, you know, we're on a comedy superstation. When you go to the States now, I think the last time we hung out, you were on your way to some gig in America.
Yeah.
Has that changed? Excuse me, two questions. Has it changed because of the Trump era and because you're now a Canadian, sort of, quote unquote?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a different beast depending on where you go. You know, I think people automatically assume the states are what they are because of how they vote, you know? So they'll go, oh, well, I was in Arkansas back in May or something. Everyone's like, oh my God, Arkansas, oh, Trump country. Yeah, but at a comedy club, you're still talking about a mostly liberal audience, you know? You avoid the politics in places like that because they don't want to talk about it. Not even they probably assume me, the guy from Toronto, is a liberal, but they just don't want to talk about it. Not that they're offended, they're out to get away from it, right? But then I also go, like, in December, I'll be in Sacramento, California, and you think California, you think this, you know, liberal bastion or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Sacramento's not. I mean, most of that audience that I'll talk to in Sacramento will be a right-leaning audience.
Well, that's the state capital, right?
Yeah, and they'll tell me after the show. They'll come up and they'll talk about it after the show and things like that. So I think what's funny is people automatically assume, like, oh, well, you're going to Chicago. It's going to be a pretty liberal show. Not necessarily, right?
Well, how much of that do you have in your act?
None.
Oh, okay.
None. My act's all about relationships and marriage and kids and
so it's not like
pants.
You find yourself defending yourself.
No, okay. No. But I do find people want to talk about it after the show.
No, but it's interesting because the subject of Trump has become, you know, like they call that the third rail. It's almost like no one wants to talk about it anymore because as soon as it's brought up, whether it's at a function or at a club or in a conversation, it's like people bristle because mostly they just don't want to hear about it anymore, whatever side you're on.
Well, that's because he provides material every day.
Yeah.
So people are talking about it every day. And they're tired of it for that reason. Like,
it's
enough.
The most reported and talked about administration in something like 50 since Nixon. And that was only during the Watergate thing. So we're talking about literally every single day the Trump administration takes up most of media, most of it, you know. And I've heard people go, well, they shouldn't report it. He's still the president. Of course they're going to report it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't not report what's going on, right?
Well,
and it is. It's exhausting. That's how I've gotten with social media, too. Here I am, a very liberal guy. I write for Huffington Post. You guys know that, all this stuff. And yet I've gotten to where I'm like, I just can't do it. I'm exhausted.
Well, we found that on the show, too. It's in our audience. They've lost their tolerance for us doing 30 minutes on the latest Donald Trump thing.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, unless we can find a different angle... Yeah, I think it's lost a lot of its luster for us as well.
It's just exhausting.
And we know what the act is now. He's just a disgusting human being that, you know, caters to a like a low base, and that's the story now. Like, there's really nowhere to go with it. That's what it is.
Here's where we're going to go.
How many different spins can you put on that?
Ward Anderson at Absolute this week. Go check him out. Also,
check me out. City Line. I join City Line next month.
What?
Hey, nationwide, TV? Yes.
Doing what?
So I'm the men's etiquette and style expert on City Line TV starting next month.
I noticed the hair is longer these days.
Yeah, I'm growing it. Yeah,
image.
I like it. Yeah.
You know what? I wanted
Ward's
to
a very dapper fellow.
I wanted to try something different.
All right.
So check me out on City Line in the mornings, and of course my regular column in Title Magazine, Men's Magazine. You can check nationwide.
What was that thing you had sent me a note during the summer about somebody wanted to do something? To hook us up or hook me up with some kind of thing. I can't remember what it was.
All kinds of things.
All right. Well, hook me up.
All right. You want some Botox? You want some Botox? I can get it.
Yeah, hang around. I'm done around 9:15. We can talk for a couple minutes.
All right.
There's Ward Anderson, Phil. Woo. Did you enjoy that?
That was fascinating.
You're fascinating. Let's get Havens up here.
Yes, Lord.
Every evening, find me moaning.
Yes,
let's talk a little bit about Spearhead Brew.
Well, Howie, I don't know where to start. Spearhead Brewing Company. Did I say Spearhead? Spearhead Brewing Company out of Kingston, Ontario. I'll tell you, they make some fine products, and they're proudly made in Ontario. Hawaiian style beer. You got to try that. The Hawaiian style pale ale. They have the Moroccan brown. Delicious. And of course, the signature Stan.
You okay?
Sam Roberts. The
Stan
signature
Roberts.
Sam Roberts Band Ale, which I shared with a few people over the weekend, and it was a smashing hit. Spearhead Brewing Company out of Kingston.
Well, last week I had the pleasure of hosting the annual conference for service-inspired restaurants, and I can tell you the people that work at these places are inspired to make service a not only part of their name, but to make it part of your experience, whether it's Jack Astor's, Scatterbush, Canyon Creek, Red's, Loose Moose, Duke's Refresher Bar, all of it, we highly recommend it. And, of course, as I mentioned last week, they're all part of Skip the Dishes. Which it was interesting because I had this conversation with Paul Bogner, who was here last week. He's the president and COO. He's the main guy there. And I was asking him about Skip the Dishes. He said, you know, it's great for people that want our food but just don't have time to get to a restaurant. It now gives you an opportunity to have those people's food delivered because they're not in the delivery business. They deliver great food, but now Skip the Dishes can deliver service-inspired restaurant food to your home.
All right, Havens.
The Toronto indie alternative singer, songwriter, and guitarist. Am I allowed to call you Andrew or just have to say Havens?
Either way is fine. I'm pretty flexible.
When were you here before?
That would have been May, I think, or very early June.
Did it go well?
I loved it. Yeah, you guys are awesome. And thank you so much for having me back.
Well, Havens is here, people. What about the Havens? What have you been doing, man? You're young. Why are you so young? And everything seems possible.
For now, yeah, I'm holding on to those moments as best I can. I have to pass on a hello from a couple people who said, you got to say hello to Humble and Fred. And that's Jeff Neiman, and Jeff MacArthur from Global TV, actually. They both say hello, yeah.
Well, Jeff MacArthur, he's a good boy.
Those are all very nice people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been working with somebody from, was it the Trues?
I like the Trues. You had them on recently.
Yeah, we had them on recently. Yeah.
Great band, but no, it's another Canadian band.
No, but I was looking at your information here. I thought I saw that somebody had helped you produce this latest thing, and it was, it was the Arkells drummer. That's it.
That's right. Yeah, Tim Oxford. Yeah, he just played drums on the single. So Ian Madden is actually the gentleman who produced. But Tim Oxford is an amazing drummer, and it was amazing getting to work with him. And he plays on this new single, Fall, that I'm promoting now. And he's got this really cool 60s beat that he brought to the table, and it's just, it's awesome. And he's a really cool guy, and it was great getting to work with him.
Well, the Arkells have actually been on this show as well.
Amazing.
A couple of years ago.
That's awesome.
Or three or four.
You're a pretty cool guy.
Oh, wow.
Havens. if you want to check out Andrew's stuff, it's musicbyhavens.com. Same on Instagram, Twitter, and the Facebooks. And Andrew's out promoting this latest single. It's called Fall. We're going to hear it in seconds. Tim Oxford plays on the single. You can hear that. I'm sure it's on Spotify.
Yeah, it's all out now. Stuff. Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Music. If you just search Fall by Havens, or it's on YouTube, I think, as well right now. There's some audio on there. So
I love this description. It says, with baritone vocals, shimmering, jangly guitars, and synths.
Yeah. Spotify is great, too. Every time somebody streams it, what, 4 cents?
Yeah, it's a little less than that, but yeah. I got my first royalty check from Spotify, and I think it was like $24 for 53,000 streams.
So. Nice.
Oh, there you go.
That's the industry for you, but I'm not complaining. It's nice to have the platform for so many people to hear it. So.
Listen, if all we did was complain, Havens,
what else
would we do?
We'd never get anywhere.
Why don't we hear the song? Let me hear the guitar. Is that five, Phil?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Don't freak out, Southern Ontario. We're going to play some music, making his return to our program. Please put your hands together for the artist known as Havens.
Havens.
There's so much to assume when you fall each time, that it has to be you, only wrong you can do when it comes to these things in life. You tell yourself it will be better next time, eventually you'll be past the struggle. But as the air grows thick, it gets harder to breathe. When you see her tonight, you will fall for the millionth time. When you see her tonight, you won't know why. Nothing that you say will make it better, and nothing that you do will be alright. When you see her tonight, you won't know why. You fantasize, then you agonize. All the things she could do, if your heart she would choose. You can't see the truth in her eyes. You tell yourself it will be better next time. Eventually you will find it in someone. But then the air grows thicker than the last time. When you see her tonight, you will fall for the millionth time. When you see her tonight, you won't know why. 'Cause nothing that you say will make it better, and nothing that you do will be alright. Rinse and repeat night after night. When you see her tonight, you will fall for the millionth time. When you see her tonight, you won't know why. Oh, 'cause nothing that you say will make it better, and nothing that you do will be alright. So just rinse and repeat night after night. Rinse and repeat night after night. Oh, 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 rinse and repeat night after night.
Music from Havens, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
So much.
Good Lord. Why you gotta be so young and talented and writing songs and stuff?
It's ridiculous.
You know, the concept of rinse and repeat has always amused me because I've never rinsed and repeat. I always just put it on once the shampoo and then rinse it out. I never repeat. Do you?
Yeah.
No, that's, although every bottle says rinse and repeat.
That's what I took away from that song.
Maybe they mean like every day.
Well, because they want you to use more shampoo.
I don't think that's what the song's about.
Oh, okay.
Is this your publicist or your girly friend?
Yes, Celine Honrad. She's my publicist. She's great. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I just wonder. I mean, the reason I asked is I was wondering, is that song written about her? But
it's just for you, Celine. You never knew that.
Celine!
Well, I'll tell you.
No, it's about a couple girls, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
How old are you? Like 14? What are you?
I wish. No, I'm currently 25.
25?
Yeah. Just turned 25 a month ago, actually. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm still kicking.
Now you're doing it.
You're a talented young man.
Thank you guys so much.
It's annoying. No, I'm kidding. Everyone go to, where is it here? Here we go. Musicbyhavens.com. And we couldn't wish you more but the best.
Oh, thank you.
There he is. Havens,
thank you
everybody.
So much, guys.
All, right, Sean,
all the best.
Take it easy.
Let's get Sean in here. There's a couple stories. Hopefully Sean has the end. Well, we'll get some, do the pictures and get all that put away. There's a great quote I read. I was reading that story about Cosby. I'd forgotten that. You know, in the body of the article, there was a woman... a sociologist talking about how there's been a cultural shift from away from this patriarchal society where men were allowed to do basically whatever they wanted. And she said, for a while there, genius, the quote I wrote is genius is recognized as an exception to decency. For a long time, we thought, well, they're so talented, you know, we'll just
let
them.
They're a bit weird.
They're a bit weird. But genius is recognized as an exception to decency. And I think that we have shifted away from that.
Yes.
We no longer tolerate people's behavior because they're good at playing guitar or something, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've made that point. Just because somebody could put a few rhymes together that somehow they're exalted beyond the average person, you know, why is that more important than somebody that comes and puts a fire out at your house?
Oh, and athletics really blows me away, you know, because you can put that basketball through a hoop or, you know, skate faster than another guy.
It's you got a nice handling of a puck.
All of a sudden, you have this elevated status on Earth. Like, I know, but that's the world we live in. But we're experiencing a bit of a correction right now.
Well, that's what it is.
Some might argue an over-index.
Maybe.
But that's part of the deal.
But we don't. But that behavior is no longer tolerated. And because of social media, because everyone has access to disseminating information in a way that never has existed in history, that if you have poor behavior now, it can be documented instantly. You know, celebrities used to act however they wanted because... And there was a time when... Even politically, where you just didn't report, like there was a lot of hanky panky and shenanigans going on in the Kennedy White House.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That if that had happened today,
well,
you know, there's rumors that they may have offed Marilyn Monroe for God's sake.
You know, I often talk about, or I said it today, that nothing good comes from social media. Maybe that is a good thing. People have to be a little more honest. Things are a little more. Transparent now.
Right.
Back in those White House days with the Kennedys, right? There was really no way of finding out. And people were literally threatened. If you wanted to, you know, open your mouth, you were threatened.
And reporters, or the way that the media covered politics, there was sort of an unspoken thing. You even mentioned this once in terms of hockey players. You know, you just didn't report on certain things that hockey guys did.
Yeah,
it was just understood.
As a reporter, yeah.
And then it all changed. It changed with Watergate. It changed with Clinton. It changed with, you know, the ability for people to, you know, broadcast themselves.
Yeah.
For our podcast extra today, Sergeant Sean's going to tell us a couple of stories. Also, I think, are we going to talk about the world's longest...
We could.
Well, we'll do that on our podcast extra. Tomorrow is the day before the surgery day. Now, you're going to be here.
Wednesday morning?
On Wednesday morning, you will be here.
Although I was reading my pre-op stuff, and they said the day of, don't put any deodorant on, creams, or stuff in your hair. So when I arrive here, I'll just have a... It'll just be a shower, Howard. None of the stuff that I usually, you know...
I'll be fine.
...have on. So I might... I don't know.
You think you're... Well,
I might stink.
Well, you just... You'll have a shower. How could, how bad could you stink?
Yeah, but I, you know, I use a lot of product.
Okay. All right.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurants, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print. We broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-Hour Energy Performance Zone. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
Recently updated independently conducted research conducted solely by Humble and Fred. This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, as performed by the independently conducted research firm of Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred Radio!
Canada's national morning show.
Hey, no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running gay. Say my name, say my name.
It's Humble and Fred Radio, the podcast that became a radio show, that once was a radio show, that is now a radio show again, but also a podcast. Brought to you by the very fine folks at the Chamber Plan, Freed.
Yeah, Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. The Chamber's Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for small business. You can go to chamberplan.ca and get a free quote. Employee benefits enjoyed by 30,000 Canadian businesses now. It's been around for 40 years, so it's very stable. If you have a small business, get into this plan because it's simple and it's smart. Very smart. It's a great thing to provide for your employees. Again, go to chamberplan.ca and get a free quote. See how easy it is to become part of the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan.
Learn from others on your cannabis journey by simply tapping the Strain Print app, which you can get free on Apple or Google Play. Why don't you do it? See what strains are providing the highest efficacy for symptom treatment. For example, what's the most effective for backaches, headaches, anxiety, and other things people have? Maybe you've got the palsy. I don't know what you've got, but, you know, the chances are somebody on the Strain Print community will be able to tell you what they've used to make the journey a more pleasant one. Want to learn more? Visit strainprint.ca. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, at strainprint, and on Facebooks. It's like the Fitbit of weed. All right. Ward Anderson, comedian, raconteur, author. He's written some books. He's coming up on our program here in a second or two. Maybe we'll save the Cosby discussion for him. Because it turns out, and we can just tease this, it turns out that there, we all thought, much like we thought Tiger Woods would never win again, we all thought there's no way that Dr. Cosby is going to get any jail time, but I think there might be a chance.
Hope so.
Talk about that. Also mentioned that for you Humble and Fred listeners, today is Melanie Patterson's 36th birthday.
Oh, my baby.
Crazy, man.
Yeah. Hard to believe, isn't it? And you, we were talking before the show. That's my daughter, Melanie. Yeah, 36 years old. You, when I met you, we started working together. You were 29.
And the reason I said, I brought it up is because I was 29, and Melanie, I went to her birthday party when it was her 7th birthday party. So she's now 7 years older than I was when I met her.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
No, 7 years older. Yeah, 36.
And where does the time go?
Where does it go?
And they're always your kids. They're always your babies. And she is such a fabulous mother. So proud of her. So proud of her.
Now, she's given birth to two children.
Two children, yeah.
Is it, and as a grandparent, you know, you hear people talk about it. It's a different experience than when you have your own children.
Yeah.
Are you more nervous? You said once that you're more nervous having the kids there because they're not yours, or?
Yeah, when you're a young parent, and I was a parent in my 20s. You know, ignorance gets you through a lot. You don't think of a lot of consequences. But as you get older and you have your own kids, and I guess you become a little wiser, having someone else's kids is completely different. You tend to think more of, ooh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if that? How would I tell them? Like, your own kids you're responsible for. When you take somebody else's kids, even though they're your grandkids, mm-hmm. it's a different level of responsibility and fear is what it is.
So, mm-hmm.
And especially my wife, who's like over indexes on that. So it's, yeah, it's different. But you love them in a different way, but a great way. And, you know, a lot of grandparents say, what I love about having grandkids is, you know, you can enjoy them and then they go home.
Yeah, you always hear that.
But I don't feel that way. When they go home, I'm sad. They're sad. I like being around them. So.
And I'm sure they love being around you. Mm-hmm. Have you introduced Mr. Squishy?
No. What, are we going to traumatize the kids?
I don't think Ward... Fred's got a... It's a long story.
Mr. Kathy.
He's got a bag.
This is Kathy. How are you, Kathy?
He's got a catheter into a urine bag.
This is Kathy.
It's a long story, but...
Baggy.
Ward loves that.
Your mom had to do that for a while. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Your mom?
She's got a penis?
No, we called it the urine bag. My mom had it.
Oh, okay.
All right. I thought, you know, maybe the... Hey, kids, you want to color Grandpa's...
No.
Bag?
No. It's funny. Delise probably thought it. But she never did say, you're not going to show that to John, are you? I could see that. I could see that being in her world. Like,
no, I can imagine,
oh,
too.
Fred will try and be funny, and he'll show John the bag.
Right.
But no. That would be horrifying.
And then you'll have another bag there that's got apple juice, and you say, hey, John, watch that Papa drink his own urine.
That's the tube. It's such a hoser. Well,
see, that's what I would do. I would go too far. I went too far. All right, let's get Ward Anderson to sit down here and get him comfortable. He's a comedian and an author, a former broadcaster. Well, I guess he is still a broadcaster. He's about to broadcast with us. I still want to talk about the Leafs preseason. While Ward's getting comfortable, I was at an event Saturday night. And I went to the bar to get girlfriend Rachel a drink, and I overheard some woman saying, oh, does anyone know what the score in the Leafs game is? And I was like, what? Why? It's September. But there was quite a buzz, apparently, about some game Saturday night.
Yeah, everybody's so excited about the Maple Leafs. And I think the Saturday night, that was Austin Matthews played in that game. Tavares played on Friday night. And scored a couple of goals. And then Austin plays Saturday night. He scores a goal. Everybody's just like over the top excited for this season. And the preseason can't end quick enough. But I think, you know, you talk about television ratings with Tiger. I would love to see the Leafs television ratings for these preseason games. Because I bet they're breaking some kind of record.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, and you're a bit cautious. And I'm a bit, you know... The anticipation is so huge, it just scares me a bit. They're favored, as we were talking about, in Vegas to win the Stanley Cup. All those things we're not used to.
Yeah.
Maybe it's too much too fast, Howard. I don't know.
Well, and psychologically, you don't want to be all like, oh, the Leafs are going to win. Because then, of course, when they inevitably have a time of, you know, suckage.
Yeah.
Which everyone goes through.
All right, out of the gate, say they're like 4-7 or something. Like, I won't be able to... The media and the reaction will be too much.
All right.
Before we move on from that, one more Tiger question. Who is that baby gamo that he's with now?
That is his girlfriend.
Yes. I took that. He said, I love you to her.
Yeah, he did. So he said, love you.
He's in love with her.
She was managing... this is going to be... You can't get away from restaurant women.
Okay.
But she was managing one of his restaurants in Orlando.
Wow.
And that's how they met, and they've been together for some time.
Wow.
Let's introduce our friend here officially. He, formerly the host of Ward and Al, a very popular talk show on Sirius XM, as well for the past 2.5 decades or so, has been entertaining people all around North America doing his stand-up comedy, I believe that's what they call it. He's the author of 2 books. He had his own talk show on something. I was on it. Don't remember where it was. I think it was in his basement. Please say hello to Ward Anderson.
Hey,
all right.
Strange flat and
oh,
there he is.
Always a pleasure. Really know, just gave me it's good to be back. How are you guys?
Look at you.
And
look
here
at
I am.
You.
Here I am in the flesh. Good to be back.
The 2 books Ward wrote, one was called something about survival. No, I can't remember.
I'll be here all week.
I'll be here all week.
And the second one was called All That's Left. beautiful.
All that's left.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you heard, we're not on SiriusXM anymore.
Yeah, since May, right?
No, actually, we sort of ended officially at the end of July.
Okay, all right, all right.
June, July.
Right.
It was a thing. We were on reruns or something, and then we actually, the last Humble and Fred show that ran on Sirius would have been just before the August long weekend.
Well, welcome to Funny 820.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
When we were still on Sirius, was there an embargo on, would we have still had Ward on? Or were we ever told not to have him on after he was dumped by Sirius?
You had me on in January.
Oh, did we?
Yeah,
after
I was
you
on.
Got dumped?
Yeah, okay. I was dumped? On after I got dumped.
All right,
dumped.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
It was very mature. Okay. Everybody's acting like grown-ups. All right.
Ward Anderson, you know, I wanted to save the Cosby story for you because I was reading this article last night and I was reminded, by the way, are you fine? How's your kids, by the way?
Adorable. Growing like weeds.
How old are your babies?
Almost 5 and 14 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Happens fast, man.
Somebody brought their baby to the wedding I was at Saturday night.
Yeah.
And it was fine. You know, I know. At first, everyone was like, you know, doing the whole, you know, crapping on, ooh, the baby. Why would you bring a baby? What's the baby doing at a wedding? But I think it was close friends of one of the bride or groom. And then the friend had brought their grandparents.
Yeah. Why would you bring your grandparents?
You bring your stupid grandparents to a wedding.
You have to change diapers.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was very sweet because I watched the grandma and pa basically fuss over the child while the younger people got to party.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you have a good relation to, like, Freddie's the great grandpa? Do you get to hang with your in-laws? Are they around?
They live across the street.
So that works.
Yeah, they literally live a block away.
Bubby and Zadie?
It's Nana and Grandpa.
Okay.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought that my mother-in-law would be a Bubby and Zadie, but they chose Grandpa and Nana. And my parents are Meemaw and Peepaw.
Why is
Peepaw?
That?
Peepaw?
Southern
really?
Thing. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a what? It's a Southern thing?
Southern thing, yeah. Southern words.
Where are you Southern, from?
Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia.
The ATL?
Yeah.
So this tournament that Tiger won yesterday was just outside. It's at East Lake.
Yeah.
Legendary home of Bobby Jones.
Uh-huh.
Quick question, because I noticed yesterday at the golf course, are there palm trees in Georgia at all? None at all in Georgia?
No.
So that's just above the sort of palm tree line.
I mean, you may get some down on the Florida-Georgia border.
Right.
But not up. Yeah. Atlanta's northern Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're not going to, you're not going to get them up there at all.
You know, I'm not sure if you have this perspective growing up in the States that we have, but if we've had this conversation several times, like,
candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker?
No. Cities like Atlanta and Detroit and Cincinnati, when we were kids, you think of them as these, you know, cool American cities. But yesterday I saw the skyline, and I've been to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not even the size of Mississauga. I mean,
no.
Like these cities that you think are so, you know, all that. I mean, this city's bigger than all of them, except for New York, Chicago, and L.A.
I would say, absolutely. And I would say you're almost right about Atlanta as far as like Mississauga or whatever. Atlanta actually has a great big downtown area. It doesn't have as many skyscrapers, so it doesn't have that skyline look.
Right.
But the thing is that Atlanta has always been a suburban town. You're talking about a city that has no actual mass transit other than a bus system that runs. And there is an elevated train system, but it only runs within the city. Right. There's no streetcars. There's no underground subway. There's no massive, you know, the trains hardly run. So it's very much a commuter city and a car city. So Atlanta, the suburbs surrounding it are bigger than the city itself.
Oh, I see.
So it's this enormous, but
sprawling.
Sprawling. Yes, absolutely. And everybody lives like an hour outside the city. So that's part of why Atlanta seems, from like a photo, small.
Right.
It's actually huge.
But you know what I'm saying?
It's
like
as
even,
many people as
even
Toronto.
The skyline of Cincinnati or cities like San Francisco. They're small cities.
Even compared to Atlanta. I spent a few days in Atlanta once. Isn't there a section of the downtown that's underground too or something like that?
Underground Atlanta.
Underground Atlanta.
Yeah.
There you go.
Absolutely. It's old tunnels that were converted into shopping.
Right. And I was there 6 or 7 years ago, and the woman that I knew that lived probably 20 minutes outside Atlanta lived on the street with a nice little lot, and it was a 3-bedroom ranch style, gorgeous southern looking home, and she had just paid $186,000 for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother
Oh yeah, yeah.
My brother lived on an acre of land in a 4-bedroom gorgeous McMansion or whatever, and it was $250,000 when he bought it.
Ward Anderson, comedian, author, raconteur is here. Phil, just remind me, we're going to quickly do the Sherpa and then get on to what is the... Oh, see, that microphone needs... That microphone is buzzing like a buzzer. It's buzzing. What's the Sherpa song?
Oh, I thought it was... Led Zeppelin's Cashmere.
Cashmere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Bop, 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 bop.
That's smart.
Bop, bop, bop.
That's good.
Okay. Well, can you do the Sherpa here while I find Cashmere? Because I lost it. Cashmere. There it is.
So I'll be at JFL 42.
Are you?
This week. You can catch me at Absolute Comedy on Friday night in Toronto. Friday night, September 27th. Check me out.
I love
27th?
It. Yes. Actually, it's funny because Absolute is where
we met.
A young Ward Anderson and a grizzled veteran Howard Glassman met doing stand-up.
Glassman.
Name.
Tim Niblett is
Tim Niblett, retirement veteran.
A portfolio manager for Raymond James, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund.
And Tim will be checking in again this week. I'm not sure from Portugal or whatever. If you need a guy to manage your money or you're just at the point in your life where you want to get going on how to provide for your future and your retirement years, Tim Niblett is the guy to talk to at retirementsherpa.ca. Last week he was on talking about not only investing, but once you've invested, how to enjoy that money. He's all-encompassing from beginning to end and everything in between. Tim Niblett is the guy to talk to for your retirement plans and insurance and all those kind of economic tools that you need. RetirementSherpa.ca.
And Tim.Niblett at RaymondJames.ca. If you're paying bills, like most of us, you got bills to pay. You know you do. Whether it's cell phone or tuition, property taxes, or rent.
Mistress.
What's that?
Mistress.
Yeah. We've all paid our fair share. Paytm Canada, the app is the only one in Canada that gives you rewards for your bill payments. Plus, you choose how you want to pay, credit card, bank, or cash. Watch your points grow. Download the Paytm Canada app for free. Google Play or the App Store. Visit paytm.ca to sign up and create your Paytm account using the referral code HumbleANDFred. HumbleANDFred. And, you know, one of the things I enjoy, Phil, is the fact that I don't even have to think about it anymore. They give me notifications when it's time to pay.
On your phone.
On your phone.
Yes.
Paytm.ca. So the story I saw yesterday evening when I was doing preparation for this program, I thought I'd save it for the Ward men. I knew you were coming in.
Indeed.
You know, and Ward not only is a very funny stand-up comedian, but a very opinionated and intelligent gentleman.
Which is why I went into hiding all summer.
So, now it turns out that Mr. Cosby, formerly Bill Cosby, may actually... The sentence for what he was charged with is 10 years.
Right.
But do you have any memory... or perspective on how it all began? Because I was reading that, and I forgot that it was Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
It was 2014, and there was a grainy sort of YouTube video that went viral of Hannibal Buress sort of pushing back against Bill Cosby's, you know, crusade of...
Pull your pants up, watch your language.
And Buress just kind of went, you know, that seems hypocritical coming from a guy that's done a lot of raping. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. He essentially said that. Yeah, he was on stage and he said, "Okay, I may not pull up my pants or whatever, but at least I haven't been accused of drugging and raping women."
Right.
And that went viral. And you know, I remember talking about it on the radio at the time that it was already known that he'd had multiple affairs. Right.
True.
It was known he had multiple affairs, and so you know. And then secretly, some people in the back went, "Oh yeah," and I heard he used to slip the lewds, the quaaludes. You know what I mean? But I had never heard that. I've met comedians that say, "Oh no, I heard the rumors about Bill Cosby for years." I wasn't one of those people that heard that. I heard the Louis C.K. rumors for years.
Well, let me just jump in.
But I didn't hear it about Bill Cosby.
You know what, Ward? When I was transversing this great continent back in the mid '80s,
yeah.
I told Fred this when I first met him that I had heard stories all across America about Bill's backstage rider.
Wow.
That was the story that kind of followed me around the country. And people would say, "Oh, you hear Cosby when he does a concert. It's just known that he has women come backstage provided by their promoter."
Mm-hmm.
But again, all those things had kind of swirled around him for years.
Right.
And now, and it's funny because the story I read last night, and this is what I wanted to run by you, Freddie, is it was almost like the beginnings of the Me Too movement. It was before, like 2014 was a few years before Weinstein and Louis C.K. and all that stuff, but it was kind of planting the seeds of
it
that.
It definitely helped cap it, like kick it off. It definitely was like the beginning.
Yeah, I heard some reports over the weekend that compassion may play a part in this on the because he's old, can't really leave his house anyway, legally blind. So what would the point be of putting him in jail other than to set an example? But what kind of an example is that setting? Personally, I hope he goes to prison.
Yeah.
Because I think he deserves it. And I think that final humiliation would be good on him. But it will be interesting to see what happens today.
He won't go to jail.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to err on the side of, like, house arrest or something like that. They'll do something.
Well, you know, or they might
do this.
He
is, how old is he?
He's 81. But they might do this. They might give him 10 years.
Yeah.
Suspending it or doing something. Because I'm just looking here. The two-day sentencing starts at some county courthouse in Pennsylvania today.
Yeah.
You know, the description of how he, like this one woman that was drugged by him was more, like she said, I was frozen. I couldn't move. I just wanted it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're awake while it's happening.
Yeah.
You know, and is there anything, I don't know, don't ask it that way. It seems the most disgusting and vile.
Well, the man was in a position where, believe me, he would have had a lot of women that were more than willing and able and reactive to his sexual advances.
Absolutely. This just means this kind of thing was turned him on.
Yes. Because it would be like having sex with a dead body, right?
Yeah. Some people are into feet or whatever.
Don't say it like it's a bad thing.
It's not. Some people are into
feet. I've never drugged anybody and then touched their feet, Ward.
But it's okay. Millions of people are into feet, right?
Yes, we are.
But some people just have that thing. You know, that was the thing even with Louis C.K. When people were talking about that, they would say, you know, he could probably sleep with all kinds of women and all that. And I say, yeah, but he didn't do that in front of women who were equal to him, who had power over him, who he'd known for years. I go, that tells me that the awkwardness and them being freaked out and them feeling weird and looking at him like, what the hell is this? What are you doing? That was his thing. That it wasn't just about what
he did.
No, I
think Ward's got a good point about Cosby for sure. Because we talked about this a little while ago, Freddie, you and I, about, you know, you'd think you could get anybody, but he didn't want that.
No.
He wanted some kind of weird scenario where they were powerless against him, and yet he could still have sex with him.
But look at Cosby, not sexually for a second, and look at his record when it wasn't comedy. The guy liked being an authority figure. He liked being in control. You know, this is a guy that studied in his off time, studied, you know, education and child rearing and everything. And a lot of these women said they looked up to him
as a mentor.
Yeah. So it's a guy that always wanted to control the situation. He always wanted to be the one to tell you what to do. And he was the smart one, and he knew, and you should listen to him. So, you know, this control issues sounds like it was most of his life, not just his sex life.
And to this extent, where people around him still say he doesn't fully, maybe it's got something to do with age, senility, whatever.
Mm.
He still doesn't fully appreciate it all. He really, part of him really thinks that he really didn't do much.
Yeah.
He really didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And even to add to the pathetic of it, his wife and his family still supporting him. Like, why are you doing this to our dad? It's creepy from top to bottom.
I don't know that you would abandon your dad during that time.
Well, you know what? I think I might in this situation.
I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, and especially again, look at the control he's had over people in his life. So we don't know what relationship he really has with his kids.
Yeah.
Right. What if there is under his thumb as so many of the other sycophants in his life, right? I mean, I don't know.
Because that's his legacy is that now. And I imagine your wife, your kids, they would like to think once dad passes that his legacy is this wonderful thing. He brought so much joy to the world. That's all gone.
Well, it's all gone. One of the things we said, you know, this is a long time ago, and I said this to you, that as a huge Cosby fan growing up, like a lot of stand-ups, I loved him. But I said, it's too bad that the first line of his legacy, of his obit, is going to be this, not any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
There's a great YouTube. I mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, there's a documentary, pretty recent, about It's called, I think, The Fall of the American Icon. And it's mainly black people from America talking about what it meant seeing a black man on television in 1968. Mm-hmm. And people talking about this person that they looked up to and how it has affected them. You know, the fall from grace.
And children's television. Fat Albert and the gang, the Cosby Kids and all that. That was, I think, one of the first African-American cartoons where the whole cast was African-American kids showing life in the city.
You know, it's a tragedy. If he had just been a normal guy, just think how wonderful that legacy would be.
Amazing. First black on primetime television in the late 60s. First black to have to win an Emmy. All sorts of stuff. We're going to take a quick break. Ward's going to hang around a little bit. Haven's going to perform before this program is done. It's Humble and Fred Radio around the world at humbleandfredradio.com.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You're now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurants, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-Hour Energy Performance Zone. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK.
FredRadio.com. Humble and Fred Radio! Canada's national morning show.
Yeah! That was abrupt. That was a bit aggressive. Hi, everybody. Here it is. This is the show. All you folks in radio wondering what the show is. This is the show. This is what we do. We just start talking. There's Fred. I'm Howard. There's Phil.
Good morning.
There we go. That's how it works.
I got a bottle of water. I got my apple and all ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to be very excited to talk to you. I can't remember. Was that our email address?
Our phone number, right?
No, I think that was the email.
Oh, the email.
It doesn't matter. You can connect with us if you want to give us a call. We are currently just running a little bit ahead of the complaints. We're just itching. We're nosing. We're just a nose ahead of the complaints. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw that report yesterday. We get a daily report on reaction. And so far, the positives outnumber the negatives.
Just by a nose.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's right.
In a democracy.
Yes. Is this what this is?
50% plus one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, brother.
We are glad to be on a Bell radio station and, of course, the iHeart Radio app. And as we've mentioned, TuneIn, Stitcher, and all the other places you can stream us. And we stream live on... okay, this is stupid. We're streaming live on funny820.com.
Yes.
Yes.
But people can download the show on the iHeart Radio app.
Yes.
Okay.
And well, humbleandfredradio.com.
Well, of course, that goes without saying.
So far, since this project began, I'm a little surprised at the shyness of our followers, Howard. I thought more people would be calling in just to say hello.
Yeah.
Really?
No, you told me that.
Offer their opinions on the subject matter that we're discussing at the moment. But they seem to be very shy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
They're sitting there going, I would love to call, but I'm afraid to be on the radio.
I'm nervous. Humble and Fred make me nervous. No, I remember you said that to me a few weeks ago before we launched. You're like, oh, man, there's going to be so many calls.
Say, oh,
you
man.
You did.
Oh, man?
You said, oh, man.
Oh, man.
You did. Why wouldn't you say, oh, man?
Huh?
What is wrong with that?
Oh, sometimes I say, oh, man, but I don't think in that context I did.
Here's what you said. Oh, man.
Man.
Oh, man, there's going to be so many calls. You wait and see. 1-833-437-8465. Now you're saying that our callers are like your bladder. Shy. Bladder man. I saw something just a minute ago referred to your bladder as a tired bladder.
Who? Who said that? What?
I don't remember. It was on the Twitter, I believe.
It was? About me?
Something about the show, Gouty Toe and Tired Bladder Man or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see that. I'm not much on the Twitter. It's all too much for me. Because people I know on Twitter, they're just always tweeting. Like, it's consuming. Like, you've either got to be on it or, like...
Yeah.
Is there any in-between?
I don't know what the in-between would be. You know, I've basically, since the beginning of the golf season back in March, excuse me, I really haven't, I don't post that much. And we post stuff for the show, obviously. Mm-hmm. But as far as, I do read Twitter, and I correspond with a few people on Twitter that I find fascinating. Excuse me, but I do check it for content. For instance, on Twitter this morning, it's all about our appearance on the Great Toronto Mike podcast.
Mm, cool.
Yeah.
My Twitter, what I do is I follow people like a lot of the hockey experts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then from time to time, but I've noticed from time to time when I go there, it's just links to what they've written on the websites.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather sit down with a nice cup of tea or coffee and read it.
Yeah.
Than, you know, off a,
off
you know,
a screen.
A larger screen than on my phone.
You know, so. I'm similar because on the we have three different accounts. One is Humble and Fred Radio. One is Hum How, which is my personal Twitter, and FreddyP55. Mm-hmm. But I do that. I follow a couple of golf commentators. One of them is Brandel Chambly, who is a former player. And, you know, I think I wanted to bring it up at some point. But, you know, there's some ex-hockey players that are very good broadcasters.
So, right.
And I wanted to ask you who you think is, you know, we're friends with Nick Kyprios, so we have a soft spot for Nick. I think he's very good. And a lot of Nick's, you know, some of Nick's early experience was with us on our show. But who do you follow that, who do you think is a good ex-hockey player, or I'll even say an ex-athlete that's a pretty good broadcaster? Because Brandel Chambly, far and away the best ex-golfer I've ever seen do the broadcast. Well, he and Johnny Miller.
Well, I'll tell you, Tony Romo, who was quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, he jumped from the playing field into the broadcast booth, mm-hmm. and he's very good. Locally, you know, a part of the Bell family, TSN 1050, their afternoon show, Brian Hayes.
I said ex.
No, I'm okay. Saying he works with two hockey players. Jamie McLennan, and Jeff O'Neill. And both of them are pretty solid. Jeff O'Neill's quite a character, but can really carry his own. Like, he's funny, and he's got great stories, and he's not afraid to step out and make a comment.
And where did Jeff O'Neill play? Excuse my ignorance.
He played mostly in Carolina. Played for the Leafs, too, for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Kyprios, would you say Kyprios is one of the best, too, in terms of his comfort? I think as a broadcaster, he's very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have a soft spot for Nick. Nick used to do the show when you were away. When Fred would be away, I'd have a series of guest Freds. And Nick started off with us. He guested a few times with both of us. And he was so comfortable that, you know, at the time it was only a few years away from his career, winning a Stanley Cup with New York. And he's a real character.
Mm-hmm. It's Jamie McLennan. McLennan. But the reason I'm tripping over that is because they just call him Noodles, right?
Oh.
So they never really use that name. They just call him Noodles. Mm-hmm. And then Jeff O'Neill's the O-Dog. So I'm...
Could we do that? Could I be the O-Dog?
Anyway,
could
I
you
really,
be Noodles?
And listen, I was, you know, the other guy that's been around for decades.
Noodles and the O-Dog?
Yeah.
What?
The other guy who's been around for decades on
yes.
the competing network.
Who's that?
Mr. McCown.
Mm.
You know.
Yes.
I was hopelessly in love with him, but I find myself listening to these guys more and more. Not to take anything away. I'm just saying they're offering a pretty good product, too, and I enjoy it in the afternoon.
Well, I know you love Brian Hayes. Brian Hayes is a very, very fine broadcaster. Really, really. And listen, I don't listen to as much sports radio as you do, but the time or two I've heard him. He's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But this man, Brandel Chambly, is a very polarizing figure in the world of golf. Did you want to try something else there? You look like you're mouthing. Well, I was going to say he's polarizing in that he's very opinionated.
Right.
But the problem with Brandel for a lot of people, he's really smart.
Mm-hmm.
like he has a real ability. And what they do in the Golf Channel is he's their main sort of analyst, along with a couple other guys, former players, David Duval and Frank Nobolo. But Brandel's a very bright guy, and I read his stuff. He's very literate and very smart. And I sent this all started because on Twitter, I sent him a note as Humble and Fred Radio, basically saying what you wrote about this Tiger thing I thought was great, because everyone was giving him crap the other day because, you know, a year ago he said Tiger Woods will never play again. He'll never win again. Mm-hmm. And everyone's going, see, Brandel, blah, blah, blah. And as Brandel said, Tiger himself said, you know, at the Champions Dinner at Augusta in 2017, all the former players get together. Tiger Woods looked at Nick Faldo and said, I'm done. Couldn't walk. So Brandel Chamblee took a lot of heat the last couple of days, saying, oh, you said Tiger was washed up. Well, so did everybody else.
Yeah.
You ninnies. Anyway.
Buck Martinez does a good job as play-by-play guy for the...
He's excellent.
Of the Blue Jays.
Get back to Roma for a second. Romo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a pretty good golfer.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Well, he's played in a couple of tour events as a sort of a.
Oh, really?
They gave him a spot. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that was just a bit of a, you know, vanity thing, but it turns out he's tried for his web.com card.
Wow.
I mean, he's nowhere near good enough, but he's a lot better than, say, Grant Fuhrer. Mm-hmm. Grant Fuhrer tried to play the Canadian Tour for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Troy Aikman is a very strong. A lot of them are football.
Yeah.
Chris Collingsworth, very strong. They're color guys.
I don't think that's what they like to be called anymore.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you mean analysts, though, the color analysts. Yeah. Oh, I thought they were...
But none of them are colored. Color.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
But they're all very strong. And then hockey-wise here, you know, there's Nick Kyprios, he's a commentator more than a, you know, he doesn't do games like as the color man or, not that there's really, well, there is a difference. Not that it means anything, but there's those who can jump right into the booth and, you know, on the spur of the moment, add commentary and analysis, and then there's others, you know, that need to sit and think about it for a while before they present, right?
Yeah, those guys that do that job in baseball, the sort of, you know, so you have the play by play guy and the color guy with, or the analyst position in baseball, I think, is one of the toughest because you've got so much time to fill. You've got 9 innings; it's over the course of hours. And you're constantly having to come up with some perspective on a situation, as you say, at a moment's notice.
And look at a guy like Vin Scully for years worked on his own. You know, a lot of baseball, play-by-play, it's 2, sometimes 3 people, you know, to fill in the time.
But
Vin would just sit there and come up with these stories and asides and observations.
But in hockey, you usually have a play-by-play guy and an analyst or a color commentator. Mm-hmm. To help support whatever that guy said. It's a very difficult job, I think. Mm-hmm. And in golf, golf's also difficult because, again, there's lots of time. But those guys, like, you know, the NBC crew, they've got people feeding them information constantly. But they're pretty good at it. Johnny Miller's very good. A lot of people don't like him. I love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like that with play-by-play, too, with hockey, say. Mm-hmm. You know, they have what they call media runners and stuff that are handing the guys stuff, up to the minute stats, you know, shots on goal or whatever it might be. So they get that kind of help as well. And that's why, you know, where guys start out in, you know, junior B and junior A doing play-by-play in little radio stations, that's hard work because you really have no support staff whatsoever. And that's really where you earn your stripes, right? So it becomes more of a luxury when you're in a professional atmosphere and you do all of a sudden have a support staff. So,
well, like us, we have a support staff. His name is Sean.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Sargent is one of our... He's been elevated to associate producer. And by the way, we're going to pay you for this running around that you're doing. But yesterday, are we done with hockey and golf or something?
No, I was just going to... No, the only thing I would say is you were going to talk about the ratings from the weekend?
Yeah. Well,
it might seem like a good time because I haven't seen them,
I
and I
right
can
here,
only
actually.
Imagine.
So after the Saturday round, Where did I put this? I'll just give it to you from what I remember. The Saturday round was the highest rated third round NBC has had in 15 years, including a major.
No way.
Is what I heard. Mm-hmm. Mm. And then the Sunday round, it didn't beat football, but it was pretty close.
Like, what?
It was very close.
I can't believe that.
What, that it didn't beat football?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, football it's pretty big. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard.
Oh, no, 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 I know. No, not according to the president. He says, you know, ever since the kneeling issues, it's been going into the toilet. No, I am very surprised at that because, you know football's there. This is something special, and I'm just surprised more people wouldn't have gone there.
So
what game beat?
I'm just looking at it now. So Sunday's final round was the highest rated telecast in the history of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that's 12 years. It was also the highest rated PGA Tour telecast of the year, excluding the four majors. And NBC's coverage peaked at a 7.19 rating, which is huge for golf. Mm-hmm. Huge. They usually rate in like the twos and threes.
All right.
And the other stat that I saw, Phil, that I thought you would be of interest in, is they've started keeping track of streaming minutes.
Good, because that's part of your package now. You have to sell advertisers and stuff.
Yeah, and it's not in this article, but I saw it when I was looking at it yesterday. Oh, it was, by the way, the percentage year over year was a 206% increase. Wow. The overnight full rating was 5.2. Again, mm-hmm. golf normally gets in the twos and threes, but they had this stat, Fred, called streaming minutes, and since they started keeping track in 2013, it was the highest rated, the most streamed golf event since they started measuring it.
Right, you got to follow your viewers, right?
Which is interesting to me because of that, because we often nowadays, and we've talked about this with watching television, they almost nobody watches it in real time, so they now have a way of measuring how many mm-hmm. how much streaming, how much online viewing it was.
Wonder how accurate that is. They had to come up with something.
Well, someone's counting for sure, right? When you click on that button, it's pretty easy that you want to watch that, right? Mm-hmm. Easy to tell.
I'm surprised by that. Because I think the national games on the weekend were maybe Raiders-Miami.
Bills wasn't... Bills and...
yeah, but that would be a secondary.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It was only... Yeah. Okay.
What happens is the networks, they have their... Like at 1 o'clock, they have like the national game that everybody gets. Mm-hmm. Like all those markets that don't have teams. And then regionally, like Buffalo would have Buffalo, Minnesota.
Right.
A big win by Buffalo. But they would have that in the Buffalo area, in the Toronto area, in the region. Anyway, I'm just surprised because, you know, it's what, week three or week four of the NFL?
Right.
I'm just surprised.
Well,
I'm flabbergasted.
You're flabbergasted. You know what I hear? Mm-hmm. I hear you're gobsmacked.
That's funny. Which reminds me, they caught a guy at...
well, hold that, though.
Oh, okay.
We have a gob story. We have a gob story.
Oh.
I found the number. So, Sunday... now, for golf to come anywhere near football is, I think... pretty cool. Because, again, I don't even, as you explained, it may not be.
Yeah, but this isn't golf.
I understand.
Yeah.
But still, it is golf.
Right.
Sunday's final round saw 18.4 million minutes streamed across NBC's sports digital platforms, an increase, Phil, of 561% over 2017.
No way.
So, when you go to a restaurant, you're often, you hope that whoever is preparing your food is, you know, clean. And hygieneful.
Mm-hmm.
But in your case,
it just made me think. You said gobsmacked. They caught a guy at Tiger Stadium in Detroit, and it's on video. You can search it out. He was getting the dough, and after it was made into the pizza shape, leaning over and horking onto it, huge gobs, and then putting on the tomato sauce. And somebody saw him do it, and somebody recorded it. Needless to say, he doesn't work there anymore.
No.
You know, and again, that's one of those stories. You know, you were saying the other day that the average person swallows how many spiders a year?
They say six spiders a year while you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's sometimes what you don't know, like... all the things in a year that you ate, that you eat, you know, if you really knew, And often in restaurants. I mean, not even if it's not even if it's a malicious.
Yeah.
Just stuff gets on your food that you'd never know and has never hurt you. Like that gob would probably never have hurt anyone.
Well, it's psychological. It gets cooked into the dough.
Yeah.
Any trace of whatever probably gets baked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it makes it more delicious?
It's deep dish.
He gets a neat little thrill out of that. Yeah. I mean, you lose your job. Obviously, a disgruntled employee.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, listen, you're serving pizza at a Tigers game. Like, what exactly are you expecting from your career, right?
Yeah. No, I know. It's more the psychological thing. Like, I'm eating gobby pizza.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or the fact that some other person's hands have been handling your dough, your toppings.
Do you know, Phil, up until the last decade, and I don't have the exact, I couldn't give you a timeline, but it wasn't long ago where restaurant workers and people that dealt with food weren't wearing gloves.
No.
Oh, no. This is a relatively new.
Within the last 10 years-ish.
And it's funny, you know, there was a real move towards hairnets, too, but I don't see that as often.
Oh, I see it.
There was a while that it seemed it was, like, common, but I don't know. Less and less I'm seeing the hairnet.
I went over here to a place near Kipling. I won't say the name of the restaurant because, of course, the only restaurants we care about are service-inspired. But it's one of those places where they make your sub, we'll call it. I don't say the name of the place, but it rhymes with Bubway. And they had the hairnet on and the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
But it weren't that long ago where it would have been, you know, just wash your hands. That's why you go into those restaurants and always have the instructions for the employees about how to wash their hands.
Properly, yes.
The proper steps.
Right.
But, so you never know. Jim, who knows?
What kind of sub did you get?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about subs.
All right. Well, yesterday, there's a new Caribbean restaurant in Brampton, a takeout place just down the street from me. And I thought I'll give the guy a shot. And I go in, and again, it was typical of that type of restaurant.
Mm.
I said, I'll have the boneless chicken curry roti.
Mm.
I'm all out of chicken muck.
What?
I said, it's 1 o'clock.
No,
right?
It's funny.
I said, I had the guys from the school there. And then I said, okay, do you have jerk pork? No, I don't serve pork. So finally, I said, what do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I have some curried goat and some oxtail.
Ooh,
but not very much oxtail, man. Just a little tiny bit of oxtail.
Nice.
I said, here, will you do this for me? I said, will you give me what's left of the oxtail and then top it up with curried goat?
Interesting.
Why is that interesting?
Just fine.
Anyway, here's the question.
Give me some more detail.
He scoops out the curried goat.
Yes.
And then it you know when stuff has a bit of oil on it and then it's cold, it's sort of
right, there's this
congeals.
Weird film thing.
Mm-hmm. He scoops that and then turns around and puts it in the microwave for 2 minutes. Mm. Totally turned me off. I'll tell you, it tasted pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, this guy has just opened. And I go in for the first time.
Yes.
And this is the impression I get. He scoops it out, turns around. I don't want anything out of a microwave. Sorry, when I go into a place like that. Microwaves at home.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can microwave his food at home.
Yeah, sure. Microwaves when you go into the fridge and get leftovers or something.
It's too easy.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I probably won't go back.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's not the case when you go to a service-inspired restaurant. Whether it's Jack Astor's, Scattabush, Canyon Creek, Red's, Loose Moose, or Duke's Refresher Bar, it is food fresh, made in restaurant, and only the highest standards. The highest standards of food handling, efficacy, and now, we are proud to tell you that all the service-inspired restaurants are available on Skip the Dishes. It is really quite a big deal because, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, I want those Jack Astor's wings, but I can't get there right now because of my gout. My gout's flared up. So how do you do it? You just get the
Skip the Dishes app.
Skip the Dishes app. Thank you. And here's the thing. Right now, check your mailbox for $100 in offers from all service-inspired restaurant brands. There you go. Because sometimes you want to eat without pants on.
And how about this, ladies and gentlemen? Spearhead Brewing Company, located in Kingston, Ontario, makes its award-winning Hawaiian Pale Ale all year round. It's a 6%er, so hold on to your socks. West Coast Pale Ale, brewed Hawaiian style with pineapple. It is delicious. You can pick it up at the beer store and select LCBOs. And on tap in the Kingston area, we know we can hear you. You can hear us out there. The Spearhead Brewing Company out of Kingston, Ontario. Good stuff.
And if you're shy to speak to Humble and Fred, you know, right now, this doesn't always happen, but right now our phone lines are open. Give us a call at 1-833-HF-STINK, 1-833-437-8465. Still lots of stuff to go on the show. I had a weird, not weird, a fun experience, but strange experience Saturday night at a wedding.
Oh, yeah, and we didn't talk about that yesterday.
And I will explain when we come back. Also, so much still to go, including what's the reaction to Michael Moore's latest movie. It's Humble and Fred Radio around the world at humbleandfredradio.com.
Well, you may find yourself turning over in bed. And you may find yourself beside Humble and Fred. And you may ask yourself, my God, how did they get here?
Welcome to the land of Humble and Fred, where Tuesdays are sacrificed by Unicorn Day. I know it sounds cruel, but if you've ever had a nice piece of unicorn just done with a nice sauce, you know, oh, it's really tasty. The legendary Humble and Fred Radio, Canada's national morning show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'd hope that was we hope that was going to be a lot smoother, but it's fine. It's us. What do you want from us? We can't be slicks. We used to be slick, not anymore. If you were wondering what was going to happen when Humble and Fred were back on terrestrial radio, well, this is it. This is a podcast. We're like, if you've never heard a podcast, now you can say, "Oh, I heard a podcast." They do it on the radio now. Mm-hmm. What's a podcast like? Well, they just talk about nothing for 2 hours. They talk about everything and nothing. In our last segment, we were talking about a guy that spit into some pizza dough. That took most of a half an hour. Tomorrow, by the way, very significant day in Humble and Fred history. It's Prostate Shaving Day.
Yay! Oh, right.
Prostate.
Oh, right. I forgot. Day.
But we'll talk about that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-op. What are our pre-op duties? Welcome back. Fall's here. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, yesterday was...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the air.
Yeah, it was one of those days.
Inevitable. I don't think we're going to be having any more of those humid days. But what are you going to do? Just look forward to next spring. Look at the positive side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what you do.
No, I know.
You're famous for that.
It's a lot of warm and fuzzy stuff to come come between, you know, now and... next spring.
Oh, yes.
Do you want me to listen? Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Hanukkah.
Maybe take a nice holiday in
Kwanzaa.
South in January and February.
Little booty
next
trip.
Thing you know, it's Easter.
Yeah.
Come on. Right
so, you know, I've lived here for 30 years in the Golden Horseshoe area. And my least favorite month is November because it's just gray. Generally gray and crappy. And it kind of like it was yesterday. And I, you know, I'm not a person given to feelings of depression. I'm a fairly optimistic, upbeat person. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed.
Some of the time, yes.
What are you saying? Stop it. But yesterday, I don't know, was this because we'd come, you know, we've had such great weather. And part of it for me is, you know, the end of the golfing season is coming in the next 3 or 4 months. And, you know,
in the next 3 or 4 months,
it's a joke.
Oh.
By the end of October, there are some people in this area, you can play golf into early December, but usually by November, I start shutting it down. And so yesterday I was kind of like, well, I guess this will be the end soon. My brother's coming to town this weekend. We're going to play some golf. But, November in, you know, this area tends to be a bit. Kind of like yesterday, cloudy, a little bit windy, little
and we're
bit
not
cool.
even at, in October yet.
I know. So I was a little bit, I don't know. I just was kind of like
melancholy, almost, right?
So you
I had a bit of ennui.
Hmm.
Yes,
ennui. And you judge everything, you know, based on your what's the word? Devotion, addiction to golf.
Yes.
See, I look at the other way. To me, it's new life. It's the football season. Yeah. The Leafs are going to start.
Lots of binge watching.
Lots of binge watching.
Mm-hmm.
Often more, in some ways, more family time. You know, you're huddled under the same roof.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
So I sort of like it.
No, I know.
The Campbell soup blanket comes out.
Yep.
Both Campbell soup blankets were up at the Tin Palace. And it was funny. I got a bit of a start as we're packing up on the weekend because we closed it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Delise, I said, oh, we got to take both Campbell soup blankets, right?
For backup.
Yeah.
In case you spill some of your Cheetos on one of them.
No, I like one upstairs and one downstairs.
Yeah.
Oh,
I see. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Didn't I give you one of those?
Yeah. Do you want it back?
No. No, I hear what you're saying. There's lots of great things. But this is a thought I had yesterday afternoon when I was working on my golf swing in my spare bedroom.
Because
it's got a huge mirror, and I put the mattress up against the wall so I can hit balls into it. That's a true story.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you get a full swing in there?
I can get a half swing with a pitching wedge.
Oh, okay.
And I hit balls into a mattress.
Right.
And I had the thought that I'm only 210 days away from the start of the 2019 season, where I intend to make my ascension. You know, to number one in Ontario. That's where I'm going. Just letting you know, that's where I'm going. Number one senior in Ontario.
Started from the bottom.
22.
Yeah.
Started from beyond the bottom. Anyway, but yesterday was kind of like a fall day in Ontario. And what are you going to do? On the other hand, it could be, you could be living in Alberta.
Yeah.
Fred Ball sent me a text a couple days ago. He's in Saskatchewan for some reason, one of our friends.
Oh, he's driving out to see his son in BC.
Mm-hmm. Well, he drove through Saskatchewan and sent me a note, and it was like full-on winter.
Oh, yeah.
And same in Alberta. Both of my brothers live there, Calgary, Edmonton. Full-on winter. Like, you think it's a little bit overcast and gloomy here. They're shoveling things. It's
Isn't
absurd.
That crazy? Now, is that odd?
Nope.
So the winter or the
the pre-winter.
Yes.
The non-nice weather season's about, what, 10 months? 9 months? Like here, like, really, it breaks usually May, June, July, August, September, even October, it's nice. We have a nice stretch of livable weather outside.
Mm-hmm. You know, in Calgary, where I lived for a while, they will get the odd snowfall in late August. They'll have a dusting once in a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back to regular weather. I mean, and the weather they're having now in out west, it won't last. They'll have some other nice weather. It just gets there earlier. And if you think about it, we're so further south than they are.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is why we enjoy this lifestyle that we have.
It's sort of like Sonoma County, California thing.
Well, I know. I've had friends out in Alberta and BC for the past couple of weeks, and I catch some of her pictures there on your Facebook, and they're in winter jackets, and they were in Jasper and Banff, and it was like looked like our winter.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you grow up and you're used to that environment, you don't travel much. That's your reality.
It's a lot to
that's
do with,
your normal.
It's a lot to do with the Arctic stream, because what they get is like in the late summer they'll get some kind of cold push from Yellowknife. And so because of that jet stream and how wacky it is, they will get winter like this before we do, but then they'll also get Chinooks. They'll get warmer weather.
Oh, no. Calgary, you get a break. At least Calgary, it can be minus 30, and you'll get a break in the middle of winter, and it'll be up to 15 by midday. Anyway, welcome back to the show, everyone. Our phone number, if you're shy, if you're shy to call us, is 1-833. Are the phones working, Phil?
Yeah, should be.
437-8465. So, Saturday night, oh, here we go. Now, you get to a certain age, and you stop having to go to weddings for your peer group. At some point, you start going to weddings of your friends or family. You know, most of the weddings I've been to recently have been my brother's daughters, like three times out west in the last 5 years. Before that, I went to Melanie Patterson's wedding, Melanie's birthday yesterday, and her wedding 8 years ago. Beyond that, though, you know, you get to be in your 50s. There's not a lot of your peer group getting married. Not, you know.
Right.
But because of this great game of golf, I'm not sure you're aware of this, I have a bunch of friends in their early 30s that I play competitively with, and I got to know one of them, and he and his bride invited me to their wedding. Saturday night, it was at a golf course. It was great.
And how old are they again?
I think he's 31 and
oh,
she's...
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I've known them through competing and playing golf, and they're part of sort of a friend group I have of golf guys in their 30s. Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing about the game is that it's the only game you can be 58 and compete against somebody who's 28.
Right.
But being in a wedding, first of all, it's odd to go to somebody, like a stranger's wedding, somebody who's not in your family or, you know, a daughter of a friend.
It was it ethnic at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Which is one strike against it.
Well, I didn't actually go to the ceremony.
Oh, you didn't?
It's a strike against it.
No, I'm speaking food-wise, but anyway.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Oh, you didn't go to the ceremony?
No, because Rachel had to work Saturday afternoon. The Museum of Contemporary Art is open in Toronto, and she was there. That's where she works. So we went to the reception, and I got there around 5:15, and they have sort of, oh, you'd love this. They had an oyster station.
Really?
Yes. They had these little plates.
Wow.
And I had four or five oysters while I was waiting for the other oysters. Mm-hmm. Like, I just was slurping them. Mm-hmm. And they were, like, salty, briny, of really good. Mm-hmm. And then they had, like, another thing where you got some cheese and crackers. I ignored it. I just kept going to the back of the oyster line. But as the evening wore on, it was my first wedding I'd been to completely sober.
How many people?
It's 200.
Oh, okay.
And the wedding band and the music.
Right.
And it was interesting.
They had a live band?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was a nice wedding. Mm-hmm. You know. And as the evening wore on, everyone around me was getting drunker and drunker. And some of these young guys, there's one of them. He's one of those guys that as soon as he gets any kind of drunk, he just starts to take his shirt off.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
What you want to do at a wedding?
Oh, yeah. We're all dressed. Listen, the first song, by the time the first song played, boy, our boy Johnny had his shirt off dancing and just dancing. And then he got up on a table. It was great.
Bare chested, completely?
Oh, yeah.
And how old was he?
30, 28, something like that. You know.
Is he cut or gooey?
He's not. He's neither. He's just something in between. He's neither cut nor gooey.
If that was your body, would you take your shirt off in public?
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't even take my shirt off in private.
Either do I. I wear a tarp.
My stupid skinny old man arms. I work out, but my arms hurt. Yes. So, yeah. And I stayed pretty late for me. We stayed till about 11. But it was interesting not drinking and seeing everyone's vibe around me became drunker and drunker. But I will say this.
Did it become aggravating?
No. No, it was just different. I got to observe it. And, you know, Rachel had a couple glasses of wine and no big deal. But
you didn't medicate in the parking lot or anything?
No, actually, I didn't. No, because I was driving and I didn't.
No, I get it. We're very responsible.
You know, I medicated when I got home. A little bedtime medication. Mm-hmm. No, I specifically didn't because I was going to drive and I don't want to be out there impaired. But it was interesting watching people's mood. And it was just very fun. It was obviously the whole mood was great because there's, you know, lots of people our age, friends of the parents and stuff. But I actually danced. It was weird.
I
know.
Without drinking?
That was the weirdest
thing.
What's
that like?
So weird.
I guess.
So, the dinner's at, say, 6:30. It's finished by 8. The speeches are done. Speeches were fine.
Oh, yes.
You know, great, fine. You know, no one. It was fine. And then the dancing starts. And it's dark out by 8:30, or 8, whenever it started. And I, right away, people flood the dance floor and all that stuff. And I'm like, come on, Rachel. And I'm, like, doing my
stuff. What was the song? What? Do you remember?
Some Bee Gees, you know?
Oh, like a disco-y type thing? Right.
I'll tell you, this wedding band.
Come on, Rachel. Let's look like we're having a good time.
But I was having a good time.
Oh, okay.
I was. I was, like, at first, I was like, you know, you sort of feel awkward because I'm not drunk and I'm dancing in public, which is always weird, especially for guys. I don't know what to do. Like, I can do okay dancing with my bottom half, but I don't know what to do with these arms. And my arms are so long, I just seem awkward.
Yeah.
And no, I wasn't pretending to have.
It's funny, you know, people who drink and not even drink to, or like a problem drinker,
to excess.
When you go to something like a wedding, heading in, you can't imagine going to something like that without drinking and maybe getting a little bit of a buzz on.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're sort of pre-positioned to think that's what you do, mm-hmm. right? So it's fascinating. Someone like you who didn't drink and then all of a sudden absolutely stone cold sober and to go to... And what creates a good time without...
Well, I think you feed on the energy.
My wife's like that. She never drinks it. I mean, she can have a good time.
Yeah, you feed off the energy of the of everybody. Well, and the fact that everybody was having... I was having a good time, but I did feel a little awkward because I'm like... I'm dancing.
Well, because you're conscious, right?
When you're half, totally conscious.
When you're half cut, you're not that conscious.
No. And I'm dancing next to a buddy who's taking his shirt off and, like, looking at me and all my buddies.
Just
look. That's the other thing, too. You know, I've known some of these kids. I've known them for five. Well, I've known Alex, the guy that got married. I've known him for 6 years. Hmm. And by the way, so beautiful, his young bride. It's just so great seeing young people all full of hope and you know, starting off their lives and marrying my best friend and all that stuff. It's great.
On that day, they don't worry about the statistic that more than 50% of marriages end in divorce.
You know, and that's
all you don't think about that on your wedding
no,
day.
Of course,
you don't you don't think that, you know, there's a better than 50% chance this won't last. You don't think of that.
But she was so beautiful, and another sign of a modern marriage. Now, they've been living together for quite some time, a few years at least. You know, they've got, and she's 22 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
But, you know, in the old, and that's the kind, it was celebrated, and then, you know, everyone. And
that would have been a scandal.
It would have been a scandal,
great
right?
Time. Years ago, yeah.
They certainly wouldn't have been celebrating it, both parents on either side talking about welcoming the other to the family and so excited about the grandchild, and it was just great.
Yeah, that's great. Fantastic.
It was great, and she looked great, man. Like,
did she have a little bump?
She's one of those girls that isn't carrying a, you know, she looked...
She can hide it.
I wouldn't have been able to tell she was pregnant. And I'd forgotten until someone said, oh, yeah, she's pregnant. I'm like, oh, my God, she's just stunning. But seeing them with their first dance and all that stuff, it was great. Because, again, you know, I preface it by saying I really haven't been to a lot of weddings. You get to a certain age and none of your friends are inviting you, you know, except when their kids get old enough, like your daughter.
You were last week bemoaning the fact that you thought it was going to set you back, what, 300? 150 a plate, whatever? 150 each? And Rachel, was that the final damage?
Yeah.
Do you think you got your money's worth? Maybe at the Oyster Bar.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I probably had 15 oysters, 18 oysters, maybe. Well, Phil, I had five waiting for the... I literally was slurping 15. Oysters.
I mean, they're the freshest.
That'd be close to $40, wouldn't it, in the average restaurant?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, dozens, certainly 30. So $40 worth of oysters, for sure.
So now,
and then Rachel had probably, you know, five. So let's say she had half a dozen. That's 12. So that's 52.
Okay, so you're 52 oysters?
No, $52.
Oh, $52. So $50 now you're down to 240. The $248, did you make that up? You weren't drinking. Oh, you got hit. You took a hit there.
Yeah, a little bit. And she had two glasses of wine and a half a glass of champagne. So that's like
house wine or good stuff?
From a bottle.
That was on the table?
No, they came and poured from a bottle.
Weddings, that tends to be. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you got your 248 back.
Do some math.
What's the cost of playing the Bee Gees track for dancing?
Well, I will say this, and you know these wedding bands.
Yep.
God, they're really good. Mm-hmm. Like this band, I was watching these people. It was a big 7-piece band, and I'm watching them. I'm thinking those people are pretty good.
Yeah, there's something else. Mm-hmm. What would you say? Although you've never had to pay for a wedding, so it would be hard for you to...
I paid for my own. Paid for some of my own, that's for sure.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because it's just expensive.
Oh, yeah.
For the time.
Did you have a wedding band at Mel's? I can't remember. Or was
it
a DJ?
No, I had Shawarma.
Oh,
was the DJ.
Right.
Jeff DeMatt, which was sweet.
Yeah.
He refused to take any money.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And I insisted, but he refused. No, we got him something. No, Mel got him something. But then she had a friend of hers just playing the guitar out in the garden. Were you there for the ceremony, or did you miss that one, too?
No.
Okay.
No, well, I was opening museums, too.
I was there, and it was a beautiful outdoor wedding, and the clouds, the skies opened.
Parted. Yeah, no, it was great.
Because Jesus was looking down and saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a nice gesture for Freddie.
But the people that it costs... you know, the people that pay for it, it's such a whirlwind day.
Oh, yes.
That it's over, like, before it begins, and then you really think, like,
wow. Where's my money?
What happened to that?
That's five digits.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are still doing it. Not to the extent they used to, I don't think. But
well, this was an old-fashioned, big-time, you know, banquet. This was a big wedding.
Yeah. I guess when you have a kid that says, you know, we don't want one of those weddings. We just want to do something very quiet.
Yeah.
Just got to get married at City Hall. Nothing, you know. It's like a lot of fathers going, and mothers, going, that's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
thank you very much.
Here's the thing. You know, as you get older, you're going to have, you want to put away money for things like weddings and for things like your retirement. And that's why we recommend the Retirement Sherpa.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Securities...
Canadian Investors Protection Fund.
Thank you, Phil.
The Retirement Sherpa will check in tomorrow. Tim Niblett, he's back in Canada. I imagine he will be here. You know, he's the guy. Retirement planning and projections, he can help you with that. Estate planning, all part of what he does. You know, he can explain the effectiveness of taxes, short and long term. And your overall perspective on where you want to be when you hit your retirement. So Tim Niblett is the guy. RetirementSherpa.ca is the way to get a hold of him. He's helped so many Humble and Fred listeners, and he can help you.
I saw an interesting article yesterday. Maybe I'll ask Tim about this tomorrow, but I followed one of these things, and it's a little bit of clickbait, where they, you know, they have the article was how the 20 best places on earth to retire for $150,000 or less, and you had to keep clicking through to the next page. Yes. But it was fascinating. Some of the places are pretty nice, like Belize. You know, places where you can live on $1,000 a month. You know, some, like Yugoslavia or someplace like
that. Thailand, probably.
Yeah. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, we all have to pay bills, cell phone, tuition, property taxes, rent. Everyone's got to do it, and that's why we recommend the Paytm Canada app, the only one in Canada that gives you rewards for your bill payments. Wow. Plus, choose how you want to pay, credit card, bank, or cash. Watch your points grow. Download it at Paytm Canada. Download it for free on Google Play or the App Store. Phil has it. We all do. Paytm.ca. Sign up and create your account using the referral code Humble and Fred. And when you sign up, what happens is you'll get $10 in Paytm cash that you can use toward a bill payment. That's right. You sign up, they help you pay your bills. Oh, it's outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Paytm.ca.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my original thing was I was going to retire and live in a shed on Fred's property.
Right.
And now that ever since I met Tim Niblett, now I can afford my own shed.
Ooh.
So it's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. We're going to talk cheese. We're going to talk cheese with our friend Afram Pristine from the Cheese Boutique, the legendary Cheese Boutique. Afram is, he's been around the food game a long time, Fred, and now I think he's, you know, you see him on TV all the time. He's like a big TV star. When I met Afram, he was just this guy with a cheese store. And now he's like one of those guys you see, oh, and now let's talk to our cheese expert, and then it's him. Anyway, we're going to talk to Afram when we come back.
Love cheese. Especially with a little wine.
Oh,
yeah. You know, they have these things called wine and cheese parties.
They're what?
Wine and cheese parties. Oh, they're very popular, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure at the museum they've had the odd one, haven't they?
Well, they just opened they opened Saturday and Sunday. I'm sure they will. That was pretty cool, actually. The Museum of Contemporary Art opened in Toronto on the weekend. It's on Sterling Avenue it's, I don't know what they call that area. It's some cool area. Super Junction Triangle or one of those things. And girlfriend Rachel has been working on that for quite some time. It was neat. I walked around. I didn't do the full tour because it was on Sunday and I had to go watch Tiger.
What kind of art is it? Like art paintings, like art?
Fred.
Or sculptures?
Fred.
Or stuff you look in a corner and you think it's junk and it's actually somebody's...
Like some kind of...
Yeah, art statement.
You know, what is art? Really? I don't know either. It's contemporary art. You know, it could be like there's this artist who created this... I shouldn't even try. But it's a pinball machine. But all the not the decorations, all the artwork within the machine was done by somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's really neat. Like, you see it, you go, well, how is that art? But if you look at the detailed of the game, it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. So that's what contemporary, that could be contemporary.
And this is one of the exhibits?
That's one of the exhibits. It's very interesting, actually.
Hey, next time you're there, take a picture of that. I want to see it.
No, you got to come with me. Yeah. Once you
can't.
Why?
I can't.
I can't.
They don't let me in museums.
I got a weak bladder. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Great to be with you in Southern Ontario live again and, of course, around the planet at humbleandfredradio.com.
For a moment, caught in between 10 and 20, and I'm just dreaming, counting the ways to where you are.
Okay, so first they started out in radio, then they did their own internet show, then they tried radio again and it didn't work out, and they went back to the internet. Now this time they're back on the radio, but they're doing the internet thing on the radio. Oh, okay, hold on. Somebody just peed my pants.